inform all parties that the conference is now being recorded. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Welcome. It's February 4th. I don't even know what day it is. 2009, Wednesday. The meeting of the PPSC. And we have myself, Jeff Newman. We have Liz Gaffner and a bunch of policy people from ICANN in D.C. We also have Glenn and Constantinos, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doria, and J. Scott Evans. Did I miss anybody? Okay, so the this call hopefully will be relatively brief. There's just a short agenda to first just an update on the status of the PPSC charter. The second is to go over the two charters of the work teams, and hopefully after this call to put it out for a consensus call on those two charters, and then to go over the work team rules and a brief mention of the Mexico City kickoff meeting. Is there anything else anyone wants added to the agenda?
I wanted to ask a question about the last item. So the last item we can talk also about, so we're talking about the kickoff for both of the teams, as well as possibly a meeting for the PPSC itself?
Right.
Okay, great, thanks.
Okay, so, and since Aubrey's on the call, maybe you can, I mean, I've heard through secondhand, but can you explain what happened at the council meeting?
Sure, yeah, it was actually rather quick. The motion came up, it was read, it was explained, and it was approved unanimously, so the charter is fine. I mean, basically, you know, having mentioned that the same concerns that had been dealt with in the LSC had already been dealt with, and then, you know,
and we had already discussed the slight discrepancy between the work group rules in the OSC discussion, because, you know, they had said, well, theirs were slightly older than the ones we had just adopted, but, you know, they were going to live with it and make it, you know, discretionary. And I think I pointed out in the call that, yeah, we would probably be doing more tinkering with those rules, since we were talking about rules for these kinds of things. We were more likely to, you know, have an evolutionary set. But as I say, it was approved without question or issue.
Okay, good. So just to clarify, what was approved was the PPSC charter, not the the two work team charters.
Yeah, those weren't even discussed.
Which brings us to the next topics. I haven't seen any comments on the PDP team charter that was addressed by anybody. And maybe, Jay Scott, you can kind of summarize the comments on the OSC charter. I'm sorry, I'm getting my acronyms mixed up. Sorry. Different meeting. On the working group work team charter.
I posted it both to this group and as well to the list that Glenn has set up for those folks that have expressed an interest in participating on the working group team. The list received about 7 or 8 comments, some of them duplicative, meaning that they were coming from the same person. The only person who had considerable comment with regards to the charter was Michael Connor, and he sort of feels that it should be formulated in a different manner to answer a set of questions that he believes would drive the work, et cetera, et cetera. He submitted something. Several people, the overwhelming consensus seems to be that the charter I circulated will work for the purposes of setting forth sort of a chapeau document or umbrella document, and that some of the more specific or issue-specific questions pointed out by Mike can be dealt with as the group as a whole and should drive perhaps a work plan. And so I would say that the overwhelming comments and the consensus that I find, just though I didn't make a consensus call, but the overwhelming support seems to be for the charter as circulated. And Avery made some comments, and others did too, so if you want to chime in from having reviewed comments on the list, please feel free, but that's my takeaway.
By the way, I think that buzzing might be somebody's BlackBerry or cell phone too close to the mic, so
Now I sort of lost everything. It got real silent. My BlackBerry's off. Did you hear what I said? And that I said if anybody...
Yeah, you came through pretty well, J. Scott. I just wanted to see if anybody could...
Thanks, Liz.
Okay, yeah, I was trying to move everything away from my phone to make sure it wasn't me. It still might be. I'm not sure. Although I don't have anything on next to the phone that would cause that. But I even turned the wireless off on my computer, thinking that that might be it. But I'm not sure it's coming from me.
It's a GSM phone of some sort.
It could be. So I'm sorry. So, J. Scott, so basically... I mean, is anyone recommending any changes at this point, or it's more for the work team when it gets passed out?
One comment was for substantial revision based on a set of questions, but the overwhelming consensus seems to be from those that commented, and they are members of the working group team, some of them were also members of this group, is that the charter as a chapeau document is fine as is, and then the delving into the questions posed by Michael Connor can be done by the working group team and would help form a work plan, not a charter.
Okay.
I think that summarizes it, but if someone else who's watched the list, tell me if I've misstated.
Okay, hearing silence. I mean, that's the impression I got, too. I've read some of the emails and Mike's email, and it seems to be the case, the way that it seems to be going. I'm going to just throw it out there that after this call, I want to issue a consensus call on both those charters to kind of get those out of the way for now. Obviously, after the work teams meet individually, they can decide to amend the chart, or they can decide to propose amending the charter if they feel like it, or the work rules as well. At this point, I think, unless I hear anybody object, I'm going to just put it out for a consensus call.
Well, we might want to just do something different or treat the work rules a little differently than the two work team charters. And the only reason I wonder about that, well, first, Mike Rodenbaugh, he's not on the call, I don't think, but he posted on the 27th.
Right.
Some comments there.
I'm sorry. I meant to distinguish the two charters. Just put the two charters at this point.
Very good. Thanks.
Because we haven't gotten. There were some interesting comments with respect to the work team rules. So with respect to the two charters, is there anyone that objects to putting that out for a consensus call of the steering committee?
Excuse me.
Okay. Hearing none. I'll send an email out after this call. To put that out for a consensus call, and so we can put the two charters to rest for now. And now let's talk about the work team rules. The last draft is available on the wiki. And Liz, if you want to go and talk a little bit about Mike's comments, because I think his started the discussion going. Aubrey also had some comments, I believe, as well.
Where on the wiki?
The place that I saw it was, hold on, you go to the PPSC.
Interim Work Team Rules, 23 January?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Nope, that's okay. So, Liz, you want to, I have the email here from Mike, and I think this is the one.
Yeah, that's all I've got. And Aubrey, maybe.
I think Aubrey filed, Aubrey had the first few comments. Pretty much right after our call 2 weeks ago.
Maybe let's start with those then.
Okay, let me go find my comments.
I'll find them too. I'll search as well.
I know we had the issue about talking about consensus. What constitutes consensus?
I got Aubrey's first one was...
there it is. I even labeled them modification.
Right. Yep. Do you want to? Yeah, modifications. Do you want to go over that comment?
Okay. Yeah. I think it was just modifications at any time during the tenure of the PPSC work team. The chair should communicate to the PPSC if the PPSC work team believes the changes or clarifications are needed regarding the PPSC work team charter, including those rules. And so I was basically asking, is this a clarification question, really, is this support to relate to the working team charter, the PPSC charter, or both? I think we're talking about changes to the working team charter, and I
yes.
do think we have to be specific about it.
Yeah, I believe that was intended.
Where are we now?
Yeah, we were on modifications under work team rules.
So that's, I'm sorry, I'm going back to the document itself. That's the very last paragraph.
I'm there.
Yeah. So I think that was just a...
And in fact, someone had put that in. Liz, I think, inserted a parenthetical in the...
I did. I actually, in the revision, I included Aubrey, as well as I could, at least. My intent was to include all of Aubrey's different things. What I didn't do, I think, was include Mike's latest.
Okay.
I think there were some earlier things.
Okay, yeah. And oh, yeah, that one seems fine. The next one I had was just a trivial one that I think people accept. I said a social text wiki. And I recommended we change it to a wiki supported by ICANN, just in case they decide to upgrade to some other wiki. It just doesn't make sense for us to say, yeah, we got to use social text.
Right. I believe...
Yeah.
I
captured that, too.
Right.
Yeah. So you probably got all mine.
I think I did.
Yep. I haven't reread it, so I was just going to make my comment.
Liz sounds surprised, but I'm not surprised that she got it. All right. So then my... Mike
I can't keep up with myself. That's...
So Mike Rodebaugh had a couple comments. The first one was he wanted to clarify on the difference between the judgment calls and the decision-making paragraph.
Where are his comments? What?
So he submitted his comments on the 27th of January at least Eastern time. It was 12:57 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
And so his first comment is he wants to clarify on the difference between the two possible judgment calls in the decision-making paragraph. One says... rough consensus position where a small minority disagrees but most agree, and strong support but significant opposition. And that's, if you look at the charter, that is in the decision-making paragraph, which is probably halfway down the first page. And it says, in producing the PPSC work team report, the chair will be responsible for designating each position as having one of the following designations. One is unanimous consensus position. Second one is rough consensus position where a small minority disagrees but most agree. And the third one is strong support but significant opposition. And the fourth one is minority viewpoints. And Mike's question is, how does the chair decide between the second and third ones? And maybe, I think there might have been a couple replies to that. Let me see how people responded to that. Tim Ruiz said, I agree with Mike on his clarifying, on his points about quantifying terms like small minority, significant opposition, and strong support, but he doesn't think that you need to merge those two different bullet points, because that was one of the suggestions Mike made. And then it says, it depends on how we decide to quantify the mentioned ambiguous terms.
Yes. If I can.
Yep, Aubrey.
This has always been one of those, how do you make the judgment calls without resorting to and because as soon as you start resorting the counting, you're in some form of voting, whether you want to admit it or not. It becomes a vote. I think that there's a problem in trying to go for to find a degree. I think full consensus is obviously recognizable. I actually, and maybe it's just because of IETF, 20-plus years dealing with IETF, I think rough consensus or, strong support being relatively the same is fairly recognizable because it's one or two voices where everything they want to argue has been understood, has been discussed, et cetera, but still the majority or the overwhelming majority remains where it is. To go to any finer degree underneath that, then I see becomes a complexity. To sort of say there's some support for something is fine, but some support and minority views look to me very much the same.
Avery, is the strong support but significant opposition, the significant opposition, is it qualitatively measured?
It's kind of qualitatively, it's certainly not quantitatively, because it's sort of how many different arguments have they been listened to, and how much time have you gone by with it. It's really, you can't. That's why these things always have to have appeals mechanisms to make them work, because what makes these calls work, other than the justice of the chair and the fair-mindedness and experience of the chair, is that, you know, if the next group up looks at it and says, wait a second, you know, that was more than just a small, you know, small opposition that was major, it becomes very obvious to people.
Well, then I think the answer to Mike's question is that it's a judgment call, and the safety valve is the appeals process.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think rough consensus works ever without an appeals process. That's what makes it work.
You know, we could argue about this all day long. It's a judgment call. It's incumbent upon the, you know, the chair to operate in a manner that, and there's a safety valve if those views that, if they believe it's been misstated to us or to the board or whomever, they can raise an objection. And it can be looked at again by an objective eye, and that's the best we're going to be able to do.
Yes, what would you think if we added but significant qualitative opposition? Because that's my reading of the third, strong support but significant opposition. I cannot think of any other case whereby, you know, it has to do with the quality of the argument, and if there are two people but really insisting on it, then that seems to be significant opposition.
It's Alan, I disagree. I think it has to do also with the size of the overall group. If there are two people out of 100 who completely disagree, no matter how good their arguments are, that's a minority viewpoint.
Yeah, but you can't do it on numbers either.
No, I'm saying that the argument of a very strong viewpoint makes it significant opposition is broken down by numbers. The corollary is not necessarily true.
Right, because it's difficult to use an IETF example. We could have people representing 20 companies in the room, 19 of them agree, one of the companies disagrees, it happens to be a company whose name starts with a big C, and they have 100 participants in the room.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, you have this, well, what are we counting then?
But here's what I think. I think if you add additional words, you just give people something else to quibble over. And I think that if people want to make the argument that, you know, they've gone with rough consensus with a small minority, but we disagree because we think it's significant opposition, they can make that qualitative argument. But if you put that qualitative term in there, you're just opening another can of worms. Again, we have an appeals process. That point can be made there if someone believes the wrong choice was made.
Yes, I can add. We also go two steps further, more than just the appeal. We have the attachment of any minority view to anything, and we also, I believe we have that, and I believe what's also important, and I don't know if we have that in there, that every minority view, the chair has to be able to show that minority view was totally explored and that it was understood and still disagreed with.
Right. What it says is that in all cases, a chair will include the names and affiliations of those in support of each position and for participants representing a group of stakeholders, and then it defines what stakeholders might mean, will indicate if their support represents the consensus view of the constituency. If any participant in a work team disagrees with the designation given to a position by the chair or any other rough consensus call, they can follow these steps sequentially, and then it has kind of the appeals process. But it does not say that...
Actually, it's just earlier on, Jeff.
Okay.
Right above that paragraph where it says, anyone with a minority view will be invited to include a discussion in the PPSC work team report. The minority view should include the names and affiliations of those contributing to that part of the report.
So the comment I would have, though, is, and just to be a little bit different than Jay Scott, is, you know, maybe qualitative is not the right word, but in just reading the paragraph alone, it doesn't say anywhere that the number of people is not the element you should be looking at. In other words, it almost implies the opposite, because it starts with unanimous consensus position, which is everybody agreeing. Then it says rough consensus position where a small minority disagrees but most agree, and that is more numbers oriented than quality.
Uh-huh.
And it's only until you get to the third part where it says strong support but significant opposition, but even that could be viewed in a numbers way. And then minority viewpoint. So I think all of those, without some sort of clarification, are a numbers game. Unless we clarify otherwise.
I think Jay Scott is right in that if you start trying to define it, then people will take whatever words we use and use it as the argument why the classification is wrong. I think it's a judgment call, and we're providing all sorts of processes if you don't agree with it. I can see the attractiveness, as per Mike's comment, of trying to define it better, but I don't think there's a lot to be gained by doing that.
You know, there is a certain irony about this conversation, of course, because, you know, certainly the working group team will want to think about these questions and think about even sort of Avery's point about, you know, is the appeal process, do we have a sufficient way of recognizing.
I think, yeah.
And so it would be nice, you know, to Jay Scott's point about sort of efficacy here, coming up with a simple way to move forward, but recognizing that there is going to be a deep dive here where some nuances that people may think are really important get
pushed
out.
Well, what I think then is we footnote that at the very top.
I think we should take a vote on which way to go right now.
I'm just saying, listen,
funny.
And that means I get to.
So if this gets circulated by itself.
Well, I think a note is. All I'm saying is maybe a footnote saying that these are not measured by number alone. Numbers alone.
Not necessarily measured.
Right, not necessarily by number.
I think that that's fine, and you could put a footnote after rough consensus. The PC shall function on the basis of rough consensus, meaning all points of view should be discussed with the chair, blah, 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 blah. Footnote.
So it would say not necessarily measured
by numbers alone?
By numbers alone.
Yes.
Where are you putting that?
I would put that after the first sentence in decision-making.
Right. It says the PPSC work team shall function on the basis of rough...
Okay, got it.
And the reason is that's a chapeau statement, meaning that it applies to all of those bullet points.
Yep.
I got to say this.
Sorry, I hadn't seen that rough consensus, as far as I'm confused.
I got to say, that's the second time during this call that Jay Scott used the word chapeau.
Well, that's when you do legislative drafting, okay. That's what it's called.
I've been spending a lot of time in legislation and politics.
I have.
At the international level.
I'm just, that's like, sounds like the word of the day, and I'm just going to write that
down.
Well,
just write it down.
Okay.
Record it for posterity anyway.
Spell it correctly.
I couldn't do that. I'd have to have someone send that to me. But it does sound French.
It is. It's hat.
Yes,
and
you and we're always writing chapeaus because we don't know what's right back.
That's right. Glenn will get it right because she knows her French well.
Okay, Liz, so you got that footnote there?
I did.
You understand? Okay, great. So let me go back then to Mike's next comment. I'm sorry, I got to find it again here. I have like 20 emails opened up here. Okay, his next comment was, actually, wait, all his comments may relate to the same thing. Okay, following the bullet points that we were just talking about, the text indicates the chair will also state whether participants' views represent the consensus view of their constituency. Assuming the chair will consider the participants' view on that question, this is problematic since it can take 3 weeks or longer to get anything like a consensus view of my constituency under the rules of our charter. I guess that's the business constituency. I believe most other constituencies have formal processes before declaring a consensus view as well, so it probably does not make sense for the statement to be necessary as to every position unless we're going to build in adequate time and process for going to our constituencies periodically. So just to go back, what he's commenting on, it says, I think I read it before, in all cases, the chair will include the names and affiliations of those in support of each position, and for participants representing a group of stakeholders, parentheses, for example, constituencies, stakeholder groups, or other groups, and the parentheses, will indicate if their support represents the consensus view of their constituents.
Well, that's fine. If it doesn't indicate a consensus view, it can
say
that.
You don't have to say anything.
Right. The chair's not just going to put that in there unless the person speaking says, well, the business constituency believes, or there's a written statement that says the business constituency believes, blah, 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 blah.
And the reality is most constituencies have a consensus position that they come in with to any policy development work.
Right. So I think
it's fine as is.
I think I was the one who inserted those words, and all I was saying is if it is backed by a consensus view of by the strength of a consensus of a constituency, it should say so.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's not mandatory. It's only if it is, then you do.
And it's not that the chair is not going to be the one deciding whether it is
no.
or isn't. It's the person who presents the viewpoint. I think we could just respond to Mike on that one.
Yeah.
And I think that's the substance of his comments. Let me go to Tim Ruiz and make sure he didn't have... Tim's answer to that question was, regarding the chair stating whether participants' views represent consensus views of the constituency, that should be based on what the participants tell the team or claim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what we just said. And that's his comment. I don't think we've gotten any other comments on the rules. I didn't notice any from the mailing list.
I don't think so. And I've just captured the change that we made for Mike's issue. Rough consensus is not necessarily measured by numbers alone. And I can post that as today's update, unless there's anything else.
I mean, Liz, do you want to respond to Mike's email and tell him what we did and that we addressed his questions and this is what we put into the draft?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Especially if you don't need it today.
No, I don't think we need it today. But what I want to do is then put it out for a consensus call after that.
Right. Sure.
So...
And I'll also encourage him to listen to the MP3.
Okay.
Sorry, Dave got you.
Well, I just wanted to know, as the interim chair, now that we're... As soon as we have a consensus on this, which I assume will be by mid-next week, we'll know what the consensus is based on the consensus call. Jeff, is that what you're thinking?
Hopefully by mid-next week we'll know that there's at least consensus from the steering committee on the rules and the charters. And then, you know, I think at that point the work teams will be ready to begin.
Okay. To that end, is Glenn on the call?
She is. She muted her line because it was really loud.
I just wish, if she could, kind of let us know whom that has indicated they would like to serve on a working team has submitted their statements of interest. Is that what they're called?
Yes.
So we'll just know, so we could, as we gear up, we can maybe... I could, as interim chair, at least on the working group team, ping those people that have not and said, we're getting ready to start. You need to get these in.
I'll follow up with Glenn on that generally. And she is definitely keeping track, I know.
Okay. I just because I'm going to, as soon as we have consensus, I'm going to try to get the ball rolling.
Now, are those statements of interest posted up on the wiki or any site for everyone to kind of see?
The all the email traffic posted to the list is posted on the GNSO website under the archives for each of the work teams. And,
okay.
and that would include the PPSC.
Well, I'm just saying, do we want to call it out separately and have a
we
separate
could,
area?
We could, and I, that's up to
I suggest that each one be, there be a section on the wiki for the work team that has that information.
I agree with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody disagree with that? Yeah, I think we should. So why don't we plan on designating a separate area? Just when the statements of interest went out, this is, I guess, a question for Glenn. Do they know that that information is going to be made public? I mean, they know because it's a public mailing list, but
most people have replied just publicly to the list.
Right.
But it is. I think that is the expectation. And I think she makes that clear in her her communique expressing that requirement that they complete the statement of interest.
Okay. So why don't we create those separate areas, Liz?
Sure.
And then we'll post what we have, and this way, Jay Scott, you can actually see which ones have been, rather than going through all the email archives.
Okay.
You can see, and I can see for the PDP work team. So let's get to the next agenda item, and Avery maybe can give an update, because I know that she's working with Chuck and some others to schedule time
right.
in Mexico.
Okay. What we have set up this time is, I mean, you all probably know that we normally have full-day meetings on Saturday and Sunday. Well, what we've arranged for this time, because of these groups and because of some of the other drafting teams, working groups, PDP groups, etc., we've actually arranged for two rooms for all of Saturday and Sunday. Now, some of the time, obviously, we'll probably just be using one, because sometimes Saturday and sometimes Sunday, probably afternoon on Saturday and morning on Sunday, we'll be doing new GTLD and IDN discussions with staff. So while there may be some group that says, oh, that's not what we care about, we'll do other stuff, I expect that's not the case. But the rest of the time, I'm hoping that we don't have a unitary schedule, but that we have, so Saturday morning, I've sort of set aside for the five working teams and the PPSC and OSC if they want, but specifically for the five working teams. Chuck thought that morning might not be enough, so I've said other than that morning, there'll also be time on Sunday. Going outside those 2 days will be beastly difficult, except for groups of people that want to find a table at a bar, because the scheduling is incredibly crowded. We've got a new field marshal of scheduling who's very strict about breaks here, meeting there, and everything. So I don't think we'll be able to find a lot of extra time to schedule rooms or anything outside of Saturday and Sunday. But at the moment, we do have a fair amount of flexibility there. As I say, Saturday morning, I've basically left it open, I believe, to this sort of stuff. I believe then we will have GTLD discussions Saturday afternoon. But at the moment, I'm playing that juggling game of trying to figure out who to schedule when. So I'm really looking for groups to say, yes, we want a slot. And then Chuck and Glenn and I can start filling in the spaces. I stopped.
Okay. So you asked a question earlier on in the meeting as to whether we would need a PPSC group meeting in addition to the work team, and I think I might have answered it a little bit quickly. I'd like to hear from the group. I'm not sure we need a separate meeting of the full group. And if we do, it might be after the work teams meet. But
that's what I would suggest, is that the work teams meet, and then we circle back as a group at the PPSC level to just discuss the work, report on the work that went on.
So that could possibly be find an hour slot sometime on Sunday for the steering groups having the work teams meeting Saturday morning.
Right. I'm not sure, though. The question I have about Saturday morning is I'm not sure how much of the work teams will be there on Saturday morning.
Well, there's also remote. I mean, hopefully, and Glenn has been doing this, as she put out notices, basically telling people that, you know, GNSO stuff was happening all day Saturday and all day Sunday. Both rooms were set up with remote communication. So I'm hoping those that wanted to participate in stuff face-to-face are getting themselves there for Saturday. Other than that, you know, we'll have remote participation. I don't want to say, well, people might not get there until later, therefore we should leave Saturday morning blank, because I can't. I just don't have, you know, that much flexibility beyond the weekend. And as I say, I know I can't schedule stuff against GTLD time.
Right. Okay, I mean, if that's you know, if that's the time that we're allotted, I mean, do you know exactly what time those will be at?
I got all morning Saturday dedicated to it. We could start as early as 8. We could start when we want. There will be coffee brought in. There will be lunch brought in.
But I thought Glenn's note, Aubrey, said 9.
Okay, I think we could, okay, the 9, sorry. I thought we could start earlier, but 9's cool.
Well, I think it's that time is picked because of the effect on other time zones.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know.
I'll be there.
I mean, obviously, I'll be there as well.
All things being equal, I'll be there. I'm not going to say the planes get there on time, but I'm scheduled to come in the night before.
So the other thing about that meeting is it was pitched as a kickoff meeting of the work teams. I don't know, J. Scott, you were talking about maybe trying to have a meeting before that with your work team?
Yeah, I mean, but I can refer back to that message in my message to the list. That said, in the interest of moving things forward, why don't we have our kickoff meeting kick-ass.
That's right. That could be the kick-ass meeting. The kick-off.
Our kick-ass kickoff meeting remote, and then we'll circle up in Mexico City to continue our work.
Right. Yeah, right. I don't think there's any need that they be kickoff meetings. I mean, obviously, if you can get your team together to do a phone call, then, you know.
Well, one thing that's nice about doing the kickoff meeting in advance, although I don't want to be accused of rushing too much, is that you can get maybe some of the administrative stuff out of the way, make sure people know where things are on the wiki, give an overview of where we are with the charter and the fact that both charters and they have, I know we've distributed charters already, but maybe the work team rules. I mean, we could get some of the administrative stuff out of the way that can be time-consuming, and then maybe in Mexico City, think of it as sort of the official first work session, concentrating hopefully more on the substance and how the groups want to approach the substance of the work they have to do, and less on the minutia. But that's just a thought.
And I also think that, at least looking at my list of current participants, there are several that have already stated they probably wouldn't be there, so it makes it look more inclusive to those who can't be there. So I would like to go ahead.
I think going ahead is a good idea. The sooner we get this stuff done.
June's getting here soon.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So once the, just to recap then, the we're going to issue a consensus call on the two charters, post a response to Mike Rodebach's comments, and take hopefully a consensus call on the work team rules, at least at the PPSC level. And then once that's done, hopefully by, you know, another week and a half, 2 weeks at the most, we can then start at least have a kickoff meeting of the two work teams and then continue the work in Mexico City.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any other questions?
I have one. Will there be any problem having our two work teams at the same time? I know, for example, I'm on both mailing lists, but I don't intend to participate in both. And I'm just wondering if that will work out for people.
Well, we told everybody that they should only pick one.
Right, okay.
And I don't think we should I think we should do them at the same time.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you talking about on an ongoing basis or just in Mexico?
I'm talking about in Mexico.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I see.
You know, on an ongoing basis, I worry a little about the staff support.
Yeah, no, I think the work teams are going to decide when they want to have calls or if they want to have calls and when. Which brings me...
And staff, if you're included and you say, well, I can't because I've got another call, that's a conflict just like anybody else.
Well, thank you. But, I mean, we can definitely spread out and accommodate Mexico easily. I was just thinking about ongoing, because I want there to be some redundancy. That's what we're kind of, you know, we're going to back each other up. It's worked kind of well in some of the other recent working groups to have some redundancy and also some opportunity to bounce ideas off each other, too. So.
Plus, in a new staff member per month, you should be fine.
I know, right?
So do we want to have a call? Do we need to have a call in 2 weeks? Of the steering committee. My recommendation is that we probably try to use that time to have maybe a call of the work teams, or we keep it reserved in case something comes up, maybe from Mike Rodebach or anybody else on the work team rule.
What's 2 weeks? Date-wise.
Oh, date-wise, that's the 18th?
The 18th.
So we generally have... I mean, we've generally reserved every 2 weeks at this time to have a call. But if there's a consensus call and both the charters and the work team rules get approved, I'm not sure we need to, as a steering committee, meet on the 18th.
I agree
as well.
So why don't we just keep it reserved on people's calendar to make sure it's there in case something comes up on during the consensus call that we need a short discussion with respect to the charters of the work team rules. But if everything goes as planned, then we'll probably end up canceling it.
All right.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Anybody else have any questions or comments?
Sounds great.
Great. I appreciate everyone's time, and I will, if I don't talk to you before Mexico, well, I probably will talk to most of you in some way before Mexico, but if not, I will we'll see you all there.
Yep.
Safe travels to everyone there and for them.
Thank you.
Enjoy Mexico. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Liz?
Yeah.
Can you, do you have my cell number?
Yeah, give it to me. Let's see. Do I have it? Hang on.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, okay. Great.
I'll send it to you on email.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.